This week, we begin a series of reports on those daily occurrences we might not think about until there's a disruption in service. You put out the trash in the morning, and it's taken away by the time you're back. When it comes to everyday things that it's easy to take for granted, turning on the tap for water can be near the top. Decades since the passage of the Safe Drinking Water Act, most Americans can reasonably assume the water from their sink is safe. In Fort Smith, there is a collection of laboratories dedicated to making sure that's the case.
We're in the hallway that divides the five laboratories that we have.
Lance McAvoy is the environmental manager at Fort Smith Utilities Environmental Quality Analytical Laboratory.
This laboratory is the metals laboratory. We have a microbiology laboratory, a wet chemistry laboratory, a special equipment laboratory, and a biology laboratory.
This hallway is clean and quiet. An occasional person in a white lab coat enters one of the five labs. Inside those labs are tests to make sure the water residents drink, cook with, or simply come into contact with is safe.
This is our microbiology laboratory. We're one of only a handful of laboratories certified by the health department to analyze drinking water samples for bacteria.
So if a boil order is enacted for a neighborhood in Fort Smith, the water from that neighborhood will be tested here. Since the utility's environmental quality analytical lab is state-of-the-art, the scientists here often test water from other cities as well. Lance McAvoy says they've tested water from Fayetteville, Russellville, and as far south as Mena. Though they test the water, the lab cannot lift a boil order, nor can a city. Only the state health department has that authority, but it can be based on the findings from a lab like this one. These tests are a combination of hands-on work and cutting-edge technology. Lance McAvoy collects a few vials of contaminated water that he uses to explain a test for tap water quality.
It's a 100-mil sample every time. The sample is then brought to room temperature.
Powdered media is added to and dissolved in the water. The sample is incubated in a 35-degree water bath for 24 hours, and if the sample comes out clear,
then it's negative for total coliform growth and E. coli. If the sample comes out yellow, it's total coliform growth.
Then the lights go out, and he grabs a handheld fluorescent lamp.
Then we check it for fluorescence using a long wave UV, and you'll see that this one fluoresces, kind of a bluish color. Well, that means it's positive for E. coli.
It's more than black lights and water baths here, of course. Recent advances in technology have produced tabletop machines and computers that can sample water from the tap or out of a waterway for contaminants in very, very small amounts, parts per billion and smaller. In the metals lab, where water can be tested for such things as lead content, that technology is on display inside
an inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometer. We refer to it as an ICP mass spec because it's not as big a mouthful.
This unit takes a water sample and turns it into a fine mist in what's called the nebulizer.
Then that's going into an argon plasma, and that plasma is at 10,000 Kelvin. That's roughly the surface temperature of the sun. That breaks down all the organics that might be left and gets rid of the water. Then each individual ion, isotope, goes into the detector, and it's measuring the weight of each isotope. So for lead, there are three abundant isotopes, 206, 207, 208. Every time it hits, it notices something hitting at 206, it knows that that's lead, 207, 208. Then it can actually add those together and give you a total lead, or it can actually say, okay, I want to know uranium-238 over uranium-235. It can look at 238 and 235 and show you the ratio. This will measure down in part per trillion detection limit. We normally run it in a mode for part per billion.
20 years ago, Lance says, detecting metals at a part per billion was considered amazing. Now, it's the standard. He says the labs in Fort Smith can test 10 parts per trillion. The newer machinery can also test faster and overnight, allowing for more efficient and faster test results. If a problem is found in one of the random tests, the lab team then has to investigate. A bad sample means they'll have to consider sample collection errors or a problem in the process. They'll return to the same spot and get more samples.
We collect a sample from that location, and then we collect a sample what's called upstream and downstream, looking at the flow. So it may be one or two service connections over, no more than five, and say that the site itself is the only one that keeps coming back positive. then we know that there's something about that location, that house. They may have a cross connection or some type of backflow, which we really then start investigating because that could, again, get into the distribution system.
While the tests conducted here can be complaint-driven, that's hardly all that's happening inside the labs. It's a seven-day-a-week operation.
We like to say that from the time the rain hits the ground and runs into the stream, into the reservoirs, the treatment plant, the collection system, and out of your tap, back into the collection system, into the wastewater plant, and then actually into the river. We actually test the river as well to make sure that what we're discharging isn't affecting it. We're testing the whole way through.
The work inside the labs is only part of the story. Many of the people here, like Don Clover, wade into the water around the region to bring back samples for regular testing. Don also brings back insects for examination.
One thing about the insect larvae, they're always there all the time. You go out and if you get a water sample, it gives you an idea of the water quality at that moment. It's a picture of the water quality. Insects are there day in and day out. They don't go on vacation or anything. They're always there. So if you're able to go out and actually collect samples of these and bring them back and ID them, then they'll give you an idea just merely by the presence or the absence of different types. You will get a good idea really of basically of the water quality.
Sure, they're there all the time.
They're there all the time, yes.
The afternoon, Don and Lance were discussing their work. The remnants of Hurricane Isaac were approaching. The wind had picked up and a light sprinkle was falling. The forecast at the time warned of heavy local rainfall totals. Lance McAvoy, the environment manager at the labs, says the staff gears up a bit for such storms since flash flooding can mean broken lines or other troubles. In fact, storms hundreds of miles away can create extra work in Fort Smith. 7 years ago, when Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, the lab worked overtime.
We actually spent our Labor Day weekend testing samples from the U.S. Forest Service. They have these gigantic potable water tanks that they were taking down to the area to supply fresh water. Fort Smith was a staging area. They brought all these in from out west because they didn't have really a wildfire problem back then. But all of those had to be certified as clean. So at that time I was a lab manager and I spent probably 12, 18 hours a day, 3 days testing that so that they could get water down because clean drinking water is the difference between life and death.
The cost of an average gallon of water, according to the Fort Smith Utility Department, is less than a penny per gallon. You can learn more about the city's water and read water quality reports for the city for the past 12 years at fortsmithwater.org. Next week, we'll continue our series of behind-the-scenes infrastructure field trips just a bit west of the utility labs. We'll tour the Fort Smith Sanitary Landfill, where there are a few surprises.
We built a park here on the landfill. Now, this area is about 11 and a half acres. And when I came here 7 years ago, this was a mosquito-infested swamp-like area. Had standing water that was foul-smelling. It was a catch-all for all the debris that was blowing off the trucks as they entered and exited the landfill. And I thought we could do something to demonstrate the efficiency of a landfill. And I thought that the way this area looked, it didn't help us in that regard. So I approached my employees about possibly turning this area into a park-like area, and of course the guys thought I was crazy.
A park, some hidden history, and a giant composting operation at the landfill. That's next Wednesday on Ozarks at Large.